We're going to look at the first part of chapter 4, and this chapter contains the fifth and sixth tests by which the godly remnant in Israel will be able to expose the children of the devil that will be among them in the tribulation, pretending to be the children of God. The fifth test that we're going to look at this evening is in verse 1 to 6, and that's the test of discernment. And then, in our next lesson, whenever that'll be, whether in Sunday school, I guess it'll be in Sunday school this Sunday, love, the test of love, is in verse 7 through the end of the chapter, verse 21. Let's pick it up in 1 John chapter 4. And I'll tell you what, let's just go ahead and read verse 1 to 6, and we'll come back and work through this. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirit, whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. As I read that today, that phrase, gone out into the world, I couldn't help but to think about the fact that, sadly, false prophets are more faithful and diligent in spreading their false doctrine than God's people are in getting the gospel to the world. Many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. That's very clear and that's very plainly written. Somebody said, well, there's various ways to interpret that. No. It just says what it says. There's only one right interpretation. It's what it says. I don't know how many ways you could take that. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, these false prophets. Therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Now, in the passage here, John tells the little children what to do, why to do it, and how to do it. And I'm glad the Word of God is that way. It usually tells us not just what to do, but why to do it and how to do it. For an example, we're told in 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. He told you what to do. Study. Why to do it? To be approved of God, not ashamed. How to do it? Rightly dividing the word of truth. And then again and again and again, you find where God's not only telling His people what to do, but He tells them why, and He tells them how, and I'm glad of that. Now, here in verse 1, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are going out into the world. They're not to believe every spirit, they're to try them. That means to basically test them. To see whether they are of God. Because there will be many spirits professing to be of God, but in reality they are of the devil. A lot of people, I hate to say this, but I'm just going to be honest with you, a lot of people in our world today, they'll believe whatever sounds good. And whatever says it's of God, if it looks good, if it sounds good, they don't really test things like they ought to. They're so gullible. And that is, an evidence of that is all the people that watch the TV preachers that are such deceivers, and yet people continually go after them. But we're to try the spirits. Not everything that says it's of God is of God. Now, John is not talking about spirits floating around, but the spirits that are in the false prophets. He said, try the spirits. He said, because many false prophets. And so, the devil uses people. Okay? The devil's at work in this world, and he's working through people. All right? And so there are false prophets that are their spirit is being influenced by Satan's spirit, by evil spirits. They are saying they are of God, but in reality they are of the devil. Now, this matter of testing or trying, for an example, over here to your right, a few pages in Revelation, chapter number 2. Here's a compliment God gives the church at Ephesus. He says in verse 2, I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. He's talking about false teachers, religious false teachers. Okay, I preached on this Sunday morning about Cain, how his works were evil in reference to his religious way. Religion that's not of God is evil. It's of the devil, right? Okay, so he said, thou canst not bear them which are evil. And God is thankful, God is glad that they are that way. He's not rebuking them for that, he's complimenting them for that. They weren't tolerating false teachers. And thou hast tried them, which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. Now, that's speaking of in the tribulation. There'll be many false prophets, false apostles, but we can apply that now. There are a lot, sadly, of false prophets and false... There's and by the way, anybody in this age right now that's saying they are an apostle, they are not, they are a liar. Okay, and if you will study what an apostle is in the Bible, it won't take you long to figure that out. But people just listen and, you know, get deceived. They're not trying. They're not testing. And that's what we're supposed to be doing. Not just the churches in the tribulation, but us now in this age also. Now, John reminds them that they have already heard that the spirit of Antichrist would be in the world. And this is the first sign. If you want to hold a marker in 1 John 4 and go back to Matthew 24, this is the first sign Christ gave concerning the tribulation. And in Matthew 24, Christ outlines the 70th week of Daniel, the 7 years of tribulation, talks about the beginning of it, talks about the middle of it, talks about the end of it. He's not talking about this present age at all. That was still a mystery. It's not being dealt with in Matthew 24. But in Matthew chapter number 24, he's in verse number 3, as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? What's the first thing he said? Jesus answered some of them, take heed that no man deceive you. No man. You see, there are evil spirits, but they're working through men. No man deceive you, for many, many shall come in my name. What are they going to say? Saying, I am Christ. Antichrist doesn't just mean against Christ, it means instead of, it's counterfeit. I am Christ and shall deceive many. There are many antichrists, but there will be the personal Antichrist. It culminates, that spirit of Antichrist culminates in a man. There will be many Antichrists, but it'll all be headed up under the Antichrist. And look down in verse number, for an example, and he mentions this throughout this discourse. Verse number 11, and many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And then he says down in verse number 22, except those days should be shortened, there should be no flesh, be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Talking about the great tribulation. Then, if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall rise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show. They'll have demonstrations of what? Great signs and wonders. Insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. They're not going to deceive the elect in Israel because they have an unction from the Holy One and know all things. If they abide in Christ and in the doctrine, they won't be deceived. He said, I've told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers. Believe it not. Because this is how he's going to appear. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shines in the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. So he warns throughout this discourse about the false prophets and about the false Christ. And then here in 1 John, if you recall, in chapter 2, he said in verse number 18, little children, it is the last time. The last time of what Christ was speaking of in Matthew 24, talking about the tribulation. And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, this is what Christ taught His disciples. Even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. The sign shows us where we're at. So that conclusively proves that John's writing primarily to people in the tribulation period. Because it's got to do with the sign of that time. Now I realize there are false prophets and false Christs and all. There's a lot of deceivers out there now. I understand that. But that's not, this is based on the signs that Christ spoke of concerning the tribulation. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with it. So they're going to be among the people. But they're going to apostatize. They're going to depart. But you have an unction from the Holy One. And you know all things. I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father, but he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. These apostate Jews are going to be saying they're of God and they know the Father, but because they deny the Son, they don't know the Father. They don't have the Father. Let that therefore abide in you, which you have heard from the beginning. If that which you have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, you shall also continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that He hath promised us, even eternal life. Now look at this. These things have I written unto you concerning them that what? Seduce you. That's deception. Spiritual seduction. But the anointing which you have received of Him abideth in you, and you need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, even as hath taught you, shall abide in Him. So this issue of these false Christs, these false prophets that will abound in the future tribulation period. Now understand, the Apostle Paul, as already mentioned, warns us. He warns the body of Christ about seducing spirits. Let's look at a few places in Paul's epistles. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11. It's a time of great deception now. You see, the mystery of iniquity that's going to culminate in the person of the Antichrist. Paul said it doth already work. The stage is being set now. We're not in the tribulation, but things are being prepared for. The deception is getting worse and worse. Paul said it would be that way in the last days of this present age, that evil men and seducers would wax worse and worse. But many it seems like so many professing Christians today will believe any teacher that sounds good. That sounds like he's a good... And by the way, usually, you can't show me one place in this Bible where God makes speaking ability the mark of a spiritual man. You show me that verse. On the contrary, that's usually an identifying mark of a false teacher. But there are a lot of people, he's not really called of God to preach. He doesn't preach well. Says who? What the issue is he preaching the truth. That's what the issue is. All this personality garbage is ridiculous. And people are so, today, man, I'm telling you, people just flock after teachers just because they like their personality. Who cares what they're teaching, you know? The fact is, I have you in 2 Corinthians, stay there, but while you're looking at that, I'm fixing to get there. I think about what Paul said in Romans 16 about the false teachers. He said, I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. Now, here's the description. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly. And by good words and fair speeches, deceive the hearts of the simple. People are deceived. They don't know the Word of God. God gets up, says he's of God, takes the Bible in his hand, speaks, and boy, he's really eloquent, you know? I mean, he's really dynamic. Well, who cares if he's eloquent and dynamic if he's not teaching you the truth? A lot of people, they just go right along, you know? Sad. And that's people's own personal fault for not studying the Word like they should, you know? And it's also a fault of a lot of preachers for not teaching the Bible like they should to their people in the churches. And it's just easy pickings for the devil today. 2 Corinthians, are you there? You should be by now. Chapter 11, verse 1. Would to God you could bear with me a little my folly. Indeed, bear with me, for I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. Speaking figuratively here, making a point. But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds. Hey, you ought to underline that, because that's what the devil's after. He knows if he can mess up the way you think, he can mess up everything about you. If he can get you to believe a lie, he's got you. That's it. That's what he did to the woman. He was after her mind, you see. Deception. That's why it's so important to be grounded in truth. So your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, counterfeit, whom we have not preached, or ye have received another spirit, counterfeit, not the Holy Spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, counterfeit, which ye have not accepted, you might well bear with it. It's like you put up with these false teachers teaching a counterfeit Christ and spirit and gospel. Look down in verse 13, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed to an angel of light. He knows how to look good. He knows how to sound good. The first thing he out of his mouth to mankind was, yay. Yes, positive. He started on a positive note. Yay, hath God said. And so he said, verse 15, therefore it is no great thing if his ministers, you ought to underline that, his ministers, who? Satan's. Paul's writing to the church in this age warning us about ministers of Satan that are masquerading as the ministers of God. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. And so warning us, look at 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Now the verse 1, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times of this present age, the latter times, the last days, the latter times I think are broader and started before the last days, but in the last days are at the very end of this present age. I do believe we're living in those last days. He talks about in 2 Timothy 3. In the latter times, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Now, what does that look like? Because when you read about seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, you might be thinking about some obviously evil type teaching. But no, there's a lot of things out there that sound good and might even have Bible with it out of context. And this is the case here. He said, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats. Well, under the law of dispensation, God himself commanded his people to abstain from certain meats. But if somebody tries to bring that over into this age and said you must abstain from certain meats to be right with God, they're teaching a doctrine of devils. The devil can't get you to deny the Bible. He'll then try to make sure you don't understand it. And then he'll try to deceive you with it. That's how subtle he is. Commanding to abstain from meats which God has created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, nothing be refused. Now, Paul's the only one who says that in the Bible. Thank God for this age in which nothing is... If you want to eat it, just thank God for it and have at it. I mean, go ahead and eat your pork and your shrimp and your whatever. It doesn't really matter at all. I mean, it might not make you feel that good, but it's not going to affect your relationship with God. Nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God in prayer. God's the one who says when something's unclean. God said under Leviticus law, when in the book of Leviticus, he said under the law, this is unclean. Well, he changed that and said now it's not unclean. God, it's sanctified by the word of God and prayer. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, so, you know, repetition, reminding, put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ. The only place where, I think that's the only place that says it just like that, a good minister of Jesus Christ, everybody has their idea of what that is. I just want to know what God says it is. And right here, he's talking about putting the brethren in remembrance of right doctrine. That's a good minister of Jesus Christ. Nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. And so Paul's warning the church, look one more place in Colossians chapter 2, and we'll go back to 1 John. So, yes, we're in the tribulation as far as the doctrine of 1 John, but still principle. There are a lot of principles. You know, it's that way throughout all the Bible. Even if you're reading in a place that's not talking about this present age, there may still be a principle there you can apply to this age, okay? And so there's the principle of having to deal with all this deception. There's certainly a lot of deception in our time also. Colossians chapter number 2, verse number 8, he said, "Beware lest any man," notice that, "any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rulers of the world, not after Christ." Look down at verse 16. "Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink, in respect of an holy day, or the new moon of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the bodies of Christ. Let no man beguile you of your reward." He's warning about men. Now, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, Paul said. It's a spiritual battle. Right? Evil spirits are at work, but who are they working in? Men. False teachers. So, you gotta try everything. You gotta test everything with the Word of God. Look in 1 John chapter 4, verse number 2. Let's read verse 2 and 3. "Hereby know you the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God." This is that spirit of Antichrist, where have you heard that it should come, and even now is already in the world. Now, to put it simply and basically, the way you try the spirits is by the Word of God. You try the spirits by the spiritual weapon. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down what? Imaginations. And every thought, bringing every thought into captivity of Christ. See, the Word of God, that is the spiritual weapon, which you do spiritual battle. You will not be able to really try the spirits unless you know the Word of God. That's the way you do it. Now, the thing is, and by the way, Paul said, he said in 1 Thessalonians 5:21, "Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good." Are you able to prove all things? I mean, whether it be me or anybody else that gets up and preaches, prove it. How? By the Word of God. Don't want to take my word for anything or anybody else's word for anything. But you better watch out for a guy who just wants you to take his word for it. I've heard preachers actually say, "Don't put your Bible, close it up. Look at me. I got something to say to you." I don't care what you have to say to me. I want to know what God has to say. I'm not going to put my Bible up and listen to anybody. And when somebody's preaching, I'm going to take the book and I'm going to try what they're saying with the Word of God. Not trying to be a hypercritic, but just trying to be careful. Paul said, "Walk circumspectly." These are evil days. Deception is all around. Quit being so casual and careless about your Christian life. And so, the less you know about the Bible, the more likely you'll be deceived. The less you know the Word of God, the more likely you'll be deceived. Paul said, "This know also in the last days, perilous times shall come." And he goes through the passage there, giving things about the last days. He said in verse 13, "Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But what's the safeguard? But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And that from a child thou hast known the what? Holy Scripture, which is able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That the man of God, growing up to spiritual maturity, that the man of God," he's not talking about the pastor, he's talking about a believer who's strong in the faith, "that the man of God may be perfect, fully furnished unto all good works." So you take that Word of God, given by inspiration of God, and you'll be able to try the spirits. You don't have to be taken in by the seduction. A lot of people are taken in by a spiritual and religious seduction, and they're led away from sound doctrine. The less you know the Bible, the more likely you're going to be deceived. In fact, you can bank on it. Now, for this context here in 1 John, the Word of God reveals that the true Christ has already come in the flesh. Okay, the Word of God makes that clear. The true Christ has already come in the flesh. But the Antichrist will be denying that. He'll be denying that Jesus was the Christ. He'll be proclaiming that He is the Christ. He is going to have a 3.5-year ministry, at the end of which He's going to die and be resurrected. Counterfeit! When He's resurrected, He's filled with the power of Satan. The angel of the bottomless pit, you know, he comes up out of that bottomless pit as a Superman. The first 3.5 years, he's a human. The last 3.5, he's Satan incarnate. But he has a so-called, what you could say, a ministry, 3.5 years. Who else had a 3.5-year ministry? At the end of which he died and was resurrected. And a lot of the same signs that Jesus did, he's going to do. It's going to be such a strong delusion. Only those who really know the Word of God and have the Spirit of God in them teaching them the truth of the Word of God will not be deceived. Satan's going to empower his false prophets to do great signs and wonders. And I'm not going to run the references. I can go to the book of Revelation and show you very clearly. And Paul even referred to it in 2 Thessalonians 2, how the Antichrist comes with great Satan giving him great signs and lying wonders and so on. There's a lot of references about that. But, you know, look back, if you would, to Deuteronomy 13. And it's interesting to compare Deuteronomy 13 with Revelation 13. And, of course, in Revelation 13, you have the Antichrist and the false prophet described, and 13 is that number of rebellion. Here in Deuteronomy 13, from the beginning of Israel's history, God warned them of false prophets. He instructed them to test, to try the spirits by the Word. He's told them from the beginning about that. Deuteronomy 13, if there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams and giveth thee a sign or a wonder. You ought to mark that. He's talking about a man that has signs and wonders. And the sign or the wonder come to pass. You know, it's not the fake stuff like Benny Hinn type stuff. I mean, it actually comes to pass. Whereof he spake unto thee, saying, here's the issue, let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God proveth you. And that's what He's going to do in the tribulation. It's the testing of their faith. To know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, you shall walk after the Lord your God and fear Him and keep His commandments and obey His voice, come out His Word, and you shall serve Him and cleave unto Him. Say, I'm trying you. Don't go by the miracles, go by the message. Go by what I have said in My Word. And the first commandment is to have no other gods before Him. See, the Antichrist can have all these signs, but he's going to demand that he be worshipped. And it would be idolatry, of course, because he is a false Christ, and they will know he's a false Christ if they know the Word of God. And that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death, because he hath spoken to turn you away from the Lord your God. It don't take very long when you listen to these guys, like on TV, prophesying, and their prophecies don't come to pass. If this were the law of dispensation, they'd all get killed. At least they should be, because they're liars. And God said if a false prophet, he lies to you, then you have to deal with that. God was so strong about that. He knew the power of deception, and He said, you've got to deal with this. Don't tolerate this. I mean, He said to kill them. Now, we're not under the law, we're under grace. We're not going to kill false prophets, but we're going to expose them by the Word of God. At least that's what we're supposed to be doing. By the way, the average church today, you will never hear anybody exposed for any false doctrine. In fact, when you do that, people act like you've got a bad spirit. How can we be having a bad spirit if we're trying to follow the Word of God and do what God told us to do? But so many people, I think if you say anything negative about anything or anybody, then you're just automatically wrong. And they've been brainwashed by that super positive mentality that's promoted in the self-centered, love thyself churches. Now, it's not enough. Let me say this. It's not enough to believe the Word of God. When it comes to deception, you can believe the Word of God with all your heart and still be deceived. That's the first step, is to believe. I mean, God's not going to show you His Word if you don't believe His Word. You need to believe the Word of God. But it's not enough for you to say, well, I just believe the Bible. I don't read it, I don't study it, but I believe it. Well, if you really believed it was the Word of God, it seemed like you would read it and study it. See, we must also study it God's way to understand what it teaches. Because if Satan can't get you to deny the Bible, he'll try to make sure you don't rightly divide it. He will, just like he in the wilderness to Jesus Christ Himself, quoted Scripture. Jesus said to the devil, it is written. And then the next thing the devil says to him is, it is written. And then he misquotes something, takes it out of context, tries to deceive the Word of God with the Word of God. And so, if he can't get you to not believe the Bible, he'll just want to work on you to make sure you don't understand it and that he can deceive you with it by taking things out of context and so on. So, listen, the test that John gives the tribulation saints, listen, the test that John gives the tribulation saints is not sufficient for this age to discern whether a spirit is of God. Do you really believe that it is enough if somebody, in other words, would you say that if somebody gets up and teaches that Jesus has come in the flesh, that they are automatically, that proves they are of God? Did you know that the Roman Catholic Church teaches that Jesus has come in the flesh? They believe in the deity of Christ. They believe in the incarnation. They teach that and they are not of God. They are teaching a false gospel. You see, that's just one example. There are many false teachers today that believe Jesus came in the flesh, but they preach a false gospel. A better test for us today to discern and test the Spirit would be Galatians 1, verse 6 through 12, where Paul said, I marvel you're so soon removed from him that calls you to the grace of Christ into another gospel, which is not another. But there will be some that trouble you would pervert the gospel of Christ. He warned, though, he said, let him be accursed. If any man preach any other gospel than we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Even if it's an angel from heaven, let him be accursed. And then he went on to say the gospel he preached, he got by revelation of Jesus Christ. When people add one, it doesn't matter what it is, when they add anything to any works, it ceases to be the gospel of the grace of God. The gospel of the grace of God, it's pure grace, it's a gift bought and paid for by the Lord Jesus Christ. And anybody that adds one thing to that, they perverted the gospel of Christ. That's how you can know a man's not being, is not, in other words, if a man's preaching a false gospel, You know something about that. You're not to believe that. You're to reject that. That's a false teacher. Paul said, let him be accursed. The tribulation saints will not be trying spirits by Paul's gospel. Think about it. Jesus said, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world. Then the end shall come. The angel comes. That's tribulation. They're not preaching the gospel of the grace of God in the tribulation. Furthermore, an angel does come and preach the everlasting gospel. So you can't take Galatians 1 and the tribulation and it work there. Just like you can't take 1 John 4 and make it primarily about this age and make it work here. I mean, if you just take it for what it says, it's very important. If you understand this, you see, it's very likely that false teachers in the tribulation period are going to misuse the Apostle Paul's teachings, just like false teachers today misuse the teachings of the prophetic kingdom program of Israel. Peter warned about those who would take Paul's scriptures and wrest them to their own destruction. Just like people are always trying to preach Acts 2:38 in this age, and it's wrong. There are going to be people in the tribulation saying, hey, you don't have to endure to the end. You don't have to do anything. Just believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ. Different gospels, they're different. Only the gospel of the grace of God is to be preached in this age. The gospel of the grace of God is not being... How do I know the gospel of the grace of God is not being preached in the tribulation? Because I believe Jesus Christ, when He said, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world, and then the end shall come. That's what it says. That's not my interpretation. That's what the Bible says. There are people get mad about that and say, oh, that's your opinion. It's not my opinion. I'm just reading what the Bible said and believing it. And so we got to understand these matters. By the way, just an interesting little thing, and I can move on to the last few verses. But have you ever thought about, you know, do you recall when Christ taught in his charter of the kingdom in Matthew 5? He said, I didn't come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. And he said, your righteousness must exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees. And he taught pure law and a righteousness from within that works its way without. And he definitely taught law. He says it very clearly in the passage. And he said, if any man will teach you to break one of these commandments, he'll be least in the kingdom. Well, what about Paul? Where would that put him? When he said, you're not under the law, but under grace. How can you mix that? You can't mix it. That's why you got to rightly divide it. Because in the tribulation, they will be going by the law. All right, 1 John 4, verses 4 through 6 to finish up. You're of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God, he that knoweth God heareth us, he that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Those that are of God will overcome the false prophets because they have the Spirit of God in them, giving them an unction whereby they know all things. That's what we saw at the end of 1 John chapter 2. In John 14, you don't have to turn there, but in John 14, the Lord Jesus said to the disciples, he said, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I'll pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth. That exact phrase, Spirit of Truth, I think is four times in the Bible, three times in John 14. It's in John 14, 15, and 16. Remember, I told you to understand 1 John, you really need to have a knowledge of John 14, 15, really John 13, 14, 15, 16 in there. And he's instructing those disciples about the tribulation and so on. But he said, the Spirit of Truth, some of the Holy Spirit of God, of course, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him. He dwelleth with you and shall be in you. That matches what he's saying here in 1 John chapter number 4. There is a vast difference between the world and the children of God. I mean, that's the way it's supposed to work in any age. John 15. Look at John 15, verse number 17. These things I command you, that you love one another, if the world hates you. See, in John, he's contrasting. He said that the true children of God love their brother, but there are going to be those who hate their brother, and it proves they're of the world, not of God. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you are of the world will love his own. But because you're not of the world, but I've chosen you out of the world. Therefore, the world hateth you. The world loves its own. If a man can get up and preach and the world accept it, it's because that man is of the world. A man that gets up and preaches the pure word of God will not be accepted by the world. No way, no how. Okay? That's a fact. Okay, and yet there's a lot of guys out there that are so-called preachers that are very popular with the world. Well, I know something. I know they're of the world then. Now, the world is led by the spirit of error, but God's children are led by the spirit of truth. Christ was filled with the Spirit and spoke the spiritual words of his Father. And the apostate Jews could not hear him. Now, for time, I'm not going to run all the references. You can go into the Gospel according to John, chapter 5, chapter 6, chapter 8, chapter 10, especially those passages where Christ is speaking the words of truth to these Jews, and they can't get it because they're not his sheep. Therefore, they don't hear his voice. He said, why can't you hear my words? He said, because you're not of God. That's what Jesus told them. Jesus was not speaking big. The Bible said the common man heard him gladly. He was not speaking big words trying to confuse people. He was speaking plain truth. But there were religious people that just could not get it. Because the Spirit of God wasn't... In other words, they were not of God. That's what I've looked at some of these verses in before with you, and I tell you, let's at least look at one or two of them. Go to John chapter 6. So important. And I for time, I can't read all this. Christ is teaching doctrine here about how He's the bread of life, the bread sent down from heaven, and how they need to eat His flesh and drink His blood in regard to believing on Him as the Messiah. And He's speaking things that are hard for them. He says in verse 60, many therefore of His disciples, when they had heard this, said, "This is an hard saying. Who can hear it?" Well, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. When Jesus knew in Himself that His disciples murmured at it, murmuring at the truth. Could you believe that? He said to them, "Doth this offend you? What and if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where He was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing." Look at this. Here's the issue. "The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life." But they were not of God, therefore they could not receive those words. Verse 66, John 6:66, just by coincidence, right? From that time, many of His disciples went back, walked no more with Him. He had a great crowd at the beginning of His ministry, but the more truth He taught, the less popular He became. Same thing with Paul's ministry. Then said Jesus unto the 12, "Will you also go away?" Then Simon Peter answered the right answer, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." That's the issue. That is the issue. It's always the issue. The words of God. You know John 8, because we've looked at it various times in our study of 1 John. But he says, "My word has no place in you." He said, "You cannot hear my word." He said in verse 47, "He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because you're not of God." He said that to religious people. John chapter 10, he said how the sheep, he gave a parable and talked about how the sheep won't follow a stranger's voice. And then down in the passage, he says in verse 24, "Then came the Jews round about and said to him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly." We already had, they didn't believe him. Jesus answered them, "I told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me, but you believe not, because you're not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." So John here in 1 John 4 is showing that those who cannot hear the words of God is because they're not of God. That's what he's plainly teaching here. The false prophets are of the world, so the world hears them. In Revelation 2 and 3 to the seven churches, you know, in those seven letters, it says in every one of those letters, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the church." That's a real test. Can you hear and know the truth of God's words? Now, as I finish tonight, let me just make this quick application. We'll wrap it up. What about now? This is definitely talking about the tribulation, but what about now? Let me ask you this question. Can a genuine believer be deceived by false teachers? See, according to John, the test John gives won't work for us when you really boil it down and look at it. And then furthermore, according to John, if you get deceived, it's because you're lost. But in this age, you can be saved and deceived. Sadly, because Paul warns about it again and again and again. I mean, many times he warns believers not to be deceived. And he writes much scripture correcting those that had gotten deceived. And that's what Galatians is about. That's what Colossians is about, for an example. So it is possible to be deceived as a believer. And you're saved and you're going to heaven when you die, but you get deceived. It's possible. So we've got to be very careful. Now, the Word of God is the spiritual nourishment of the new man. You can't grow spiritually without feeding on the Word of God. Those that have the Spirit of God in them desire the Word of God. That's just the way it is. In other words, if you're born of God's Spirit, His Spirit is in you, you're going to, as Peter put it, desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. That's true for the tribulation saints, true for us. So that being said, this is a real concerning thing, folks. I think Bible-believing preachers ought to have spiritual burdens about the condition of matters. And I look at this nation and it burdens me to see what a mess it's in, but I'm more burdened about the condition of the church. Because what do you expect from the lost? But shouldn't we be expecting God's people to love God's Word and grow in grace and live for the Lord and be separate from this old wicked world? What are you more interested in? Ask yourself that tonight. What are you more interested in? Paul said, we've not... In 1 Corinthians 2, he talks about how we know the things of God by the Spirit of God. And he said, we've not received the spirit of the world. He said, we received the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things of God. What are you more interested in, the things of the world or the things of God? That's a good question to ask yourself and examine yourself with. Why is it that there, and I'm speaking broadly, okay, I'm not just talking to you in this room, but speaking broadly to the church at large, why is it there are so many professing Christians today that honestly seem to have zero desire for the pure Word of God? They seem to have no desire for it, and they seem to have no ability to receive it. Paul warned in the last days that he said that the time will come. He said, I charge you before God, preach the Word. Preach the Word whether people don't like it or not, is what he's telling them. He said, because this charge is from God. Okay? He said, he told them to preach the Word in light of the fact they would not receive it. He said, preach the Word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. The time will come, and here we are, when they will not endure sound doctrine. So that must be people hearing sound doctrine then. What do you think? For they will not endure sound doctrine. If they're not enduring it, that means they must be hearing it. But after their own lust, so they heap themselves teachers having itching ears. Never satisfied, always got to hear something else. They always think the preacher's the problem. They don't realize it's their heart that's the problem. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth. Shall be turned to fables. So I guess I'm not surprised by it, but it is concerning. So many seem to have no desire. And it could be only one of two reasons. It can only be one of two reasons. If you're professing to be saved, and yet you don't desire the Word of God, to really know it and believe it and live by it and know the Lord through it, I mean, if you don't have a strong desire for the Word, it can be only of one of two reasons. It could be, first of all, that you're lost. Because the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. That's about the Word of God. 1 Corinthians 2. I think that is the case a lot of times with people. They may have prayed a prayer, walked an aisle, and even got baptized, but they're lost because they've never been regenerated by the Holy Spirit. It's not my job to figure who that is. I mean, God knows the hearts, but it is possible to make a false profession of faith. The Bible talks about that. Then that if you're it's either you're lost or you're just carnal, and Paul said, I could not speak unto you as in the spiritual, but as in the carnal. He said, I can't give you the truth that I want to give you because you can't bear it. He said, you're carnal. You cannot, you're not interested in the spiritual things of God because you're so interested in the things that you see and the things of the flesh, the things of this world. And he rebukes the Corinthians for that. As a pastor, it's my God-given responsibility to feed God's people God's Word. But in order to get a crowd, so many pastors today are appealing to lost people. They're appealing to carnal people with music, with programs, with stories, and they slip in a little Bible to say they did it. In other words, at the forefront is not the doctrine. At the forefront is the music. At the forefront is not Bible study. At the forefront is dynamic storytelling preaching. Why? Because they're just trying to build a crowd. And so they got to appeal to lost people to get them in. Look, the church is not lost people. The church is supposed to be saved people coming together to learn the Word of God. That's what it's supposed to be. Then you go out and reach lost people, bring them in, teach them the Word of God. But then you got the carnal folks that are not interested in the Word of God. And so instead of fighting it, they just give in to it. Seems that many would rather have a junior church level message than Bible study. Junior church level. You say you're being critical. I think I need to be about this. folks, I'm not talking about people that just got saved. We understand when people first get saved, you start very basic. But you know what? In my case, when I got saved, for a while there, I wasn't hearing the Word of God, so I wasn't growing. But then when I got around the Word of God, I had a desire for that because the Spirit of God was in me. And I said, you know, there's a lot I didn't understand. There's still a lot I don't understand. But there was a desire to grow, a desire to feed, a desire to know God through His Word. That's the way it's supposed to work. And you don't help people grow by keeping them dumbed down. God wants His people to grow, not to be dumbed down like is going on in our so-called school system. And by the way, I heard John MacArthur, the radio preacher, say that there is a problem with the juvenilization of the church, that the people today in churches grew up in junior church, and now that generation expects to be entertained when they go to church. Even John MacArthur was saying, we got to get back to expository teaching and preaching. And I don't agree with MacArthur on a lot of things. I thought it was interesting that he said that, and I agree with that.